You know, it's really interesting to go to a Unity conference, and I think there are about 600 leaders, ministers, lay teachers, licensed teachers, spiritual leaders. And it's always interesting to chat with ministers who you can kind of tell that they're towards the end of their ministry, or at least their career in ministry, because they have kind of a defeated, low energy. And they generally say things like, I've run out of things to talk about. I don't know what to talk about anymore. I've told them all that I know, and I'm telling them all I know again. This person looks like they're going to be selling insurance very soon. Because the truth of the matter is, you can't get up here week after week after week without letting Spirit do it through you. This is really about God. It's not about me thinking, what am I going to talk about? It's like, okay, God, what do you want to talk about through me? What is it that you are sharing with me that needs to be shared with this wonderful, wonderful, beloved community? So most of the work I do is going within and listening to what Spirit would have all of us, me included, because I'm listening at the same time. Sometimes up here, something will come to me and it'll come out. I did not know that. Let me think for a minute. I want to listen with everybody else for a moment about that. Because truly, the work that we're doing here is to let Spirit speak through all of us, not just me. This is just the work I do. I'm the blessed and lucky one who gets to get up here and have all these hundreds of ministers in front of me. So as soon as you come to a realization of truth, you are a minister and here to share the truth. Then the work comes finding the material. That's where the real work comes in. You get the idea from Spirit, here's what it's about, and then you go to the books, you go to the magazines, the articles, you think, where can God guide me to the material that I need to highlight and to illustrate this wonderful idea that you're sharing with me? I happen to think children are some of our greatest teachers. I've learned so much from our kids here after the service on Sunday. Oh, aren't they beautiful? You know, oh, they're just amazing and so wise. So brilliantly wise. They share things. You know, they haven't been away from Spirit that long. They've only been away for a couple of years, so it's fresh within them. You know, when they become teenagers, they begin to forget how divine they are. And so do we. Like, the hormones kicking, and oh, there goes God. Okay. That'll come back eventually. But I have a marvelous little book. It's called Growing Up Isn't Hard to Do If You Start as a Kid. And the author interviews children about their philosophy in life, what grown-ups need to do in their wise opinion to make their lives work better, according to those under 10 years old. One of the questions the author, David Heller, had for the kids was, do you think most grown-ups are happy? Sheila said, my father and mother are happy because they have the cutest kid in the world. Little Eddie said they should be happy. They own all the bank accounts. Callie said, the grown-ups I know are happy when they go to those happy hours after work. My favorite is Rhonda. Rhonda says, happy they are when you lie to them and tell them they look good even though they're 50. Oh, gosh. How about you? Are you happy?
Yes.
It's always the people near the front who are happy. The people in the back, you're never really that happy. You should sit up front next week and get really happy. The balcony, you never respond to anything. You just sit there in the dark and go, okay, I'm going to sit back and wait for it. No, sometimes people come, somebody came up to me in the subway 2 weeks ago and said, I sit in the balcony, you never see me, but I'm really happy to be there. I said, I'm so happy you're happy. And I'm so glad that you're up there enjoying the view like God. It's wonderful. It's a wonderful view from up there. It's wonderful. But you know, in our Unity teachings, we learned that life is supposed to be a joyful experience. Joy, as Meister Eckhart said, is the most infallible sign of the presence of God. If you've got joy, you've got God. So think about joy for a moment. How joyful is your life. Charles Fillmore, Unity's co-founder, lived to be in his 90s because he had that joy so present in him. As he got older, he got more childlike. As he got more childlike, he got more joyful. He began letting everything go that wasn't important. To those who knew Mr. Fillmore, he was really childlike. I was really blessed to be in Unity and work there in the 80s, where there were some really quite elderly people who knew Mr. Fillmore. And what a blessing to sit and talk about him with them. One of my coworkers in the telephone prayer room said she was a young woman when Papa Charlie, as they called him back then, would come into the prayer room and just hang out. He just liked being there in the energy. He just had to soak it up and give it back to all the workers. It was quite common for him, she said, to see him meditate, just go into the silence and stare out the window in contemplation, go back into meditation, and then all of a sudden let out with this roar of laughter from something that God told him, apparently. Because he would just start howling with laughter. He would be bent over in stitches, but he would be by himself. It was unnerving for people who hadn't seen that before. What's with the guy? What's with the old guy in the window laughing at himself? But those who knew him, they would just chuckle and go, well, there goes Papa Charlie again, having a conversation with God, having a fun time. This woman, Doreen, told me, Papa Charlie would get hit by this thought and he would be off and we had to cover our phones because people would be praying about really serious things like healing and everything. And they'd hear this old man cackling in the background. Go, what is that? He was so immersed in this joy that the joy and everything that came out of him was so spontaneous. He would get into his mind an idea and then he would call whoever it was that was in charge to say, we're closing down for 2 hours, we're going to have an ice cream social. And then they would get ice cream out and everybody would just go over to the band shell or wherever they were and just have ice cream for 3 hours. Or he would say, we're going to have a picnic today, we're closed. And I, okay, we're going for a picnic today, okay. So whatever Papa Charlie wanted to express the joy with his wonderful community, he would do that. Can you imagine your boss doing that? Let's close down and go to yogurt land. Can you imagine you doing that if you have employees? What would happen if you took an hour just to do something fun? Would the world collapse? Would civilization end as you know it because you went to yogurt land? No. No, you would just raise your vibration. You would just raise your energy up. We have forgotten as a whole the sacred and holy activity of play. We grow up like Peter Pan. Peter Pan was so right to be concerned about Wendy growing up. Remember at the end of the story, he told the grown-up Wendy, you can't come with me anymore. You got too old. You grew up. He said, you're too heavy. You can't fly. It wasn't her weight. It was the weight in her mind. She became that teenager, the hormones took over, and all of a sudden, where did God go? Where did God go? He said, you become hardened. You don't believe anymore. Where's your belief? Gone. What has happened in our lives is we get so involved with stuff, with material stuff. It becomes so important we forget God, except when we come here. We get involved with working and paying bills and doing errands, taking care of family members, taking care of what needs to be taken care of. So much so that we don't take the time to celebrate and to feel the joy of God. It's not a luxury, it's a necessity. You've got to be joyful if your life is going to work. If you're not joyful, your life isn't work because you don't have the fullness of God. It's a spiritual necessity to be bumped up in joy. We have to dwell in divine joy because it's part of our nature as spiritual beings to be joyful. If we're not joyful, we're forgetting who we are. We're getting more and more human. But we're here to remember through this human identity that we see in the mirror, we are essentially, eternally, spirit. You were before you got here. You will be for eternity when you finally decide to leave the planet. One of my favorite poets in the world is Hafiz. Carol Dacey Charles introduced me to Hafiz, and I just fell in love with this guy. He is the most revered writer in Iran. He wrote, "What is laughter? It's God waking up. It is happiness applauding itself." Isn't that a beautiful line? It's happiness applauding itself. It's the glorious sound of your soul awakening. Who laughs the most knows the most. Isn't that wonderful? Who laughs the most knows the most, because you're opening your soul to the power, to the joy, and the wisdom of God when you are filled with joy. We often think of the Bible as being this dour and dull book, you know, filled with laws and don't do this and don't do that. But there are over 300 references to joy in Scripture. Did you know that? Over 300 references to joy. Jesus himself mentioned it about 25 times. In John 16, he said, "Before now, you've asked for nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive." Why? "So that your joy may be full." That's all. We ask so that we could be joyful, so that we can have the kind of wonderful, joyful, happy, creative life that we were meant to have here. Not to be pious, not to beg God, not to put on a long face, but to be joy. I think it was the Talmud that says, when we get to the other side, we're going to be called on the joy that we did not experience here. It says, God's going to ask you why you didn't have a good time when you had so much available to you. Why did you not enjoy it? Hafiz also wrote, "It is a great injustice and a monumental act of cruelty for any religion to make someone fear God." Absolutely. I'm always curious when somebody says, "I'm a God-fearing Christian." Such a contradiction in terms. You cannot love your Creator and be in fear at the same time. It is impossible. You can't fear God and love God and open yourself up and trust God. If you don't love, and some people have, scholars have said, it doesn't really mean fear, it means to be in awe of. So not fearful of God, we're in awe of this wonderful, powerful, joyful energy moving through us that just makes us drop our jaw and go, "Oh, wow. Wow. Look at God moving through me." We need a wow moment every single day. Every single day we need to go, "Wow, look at God doing this through me." So we, as Jesus said, we're just here to enjoy it, to celebrate, to be who we are. Let the joy flow forth and bring joy to each other. This is a radical concept you don't hear in most of our churches. It's about how sinful are you? Original sin. Now it's about joy, happiness, power. Jesus knew that joy was our natural state. Joy is what we feel when we're aware that we are one with God. How do you know you're one with God? Because you feel joyful. Woo, yes, woo. Here's one joyful person today. I'm so happy we have one. Thank you, Dana. "Ask in my name," he said. What does that mean, in my name? It means in my nature, in the Christ nature. He's talking from his God self. To be aware in my oneness that joy is natural. So ask in the awareness that God is my power, that God is all, and it comes forth. You know, sometimes people say, "Is there a difference between joy and happiness? How do I know what the difference is?" They would seem to be synonymous, but they really are different. Happy is the result of a human experience of good. So when things are going my way on the outer, I'm happy. When they're not going my way on the outer, it comes from a root word in German meaning chance. So hapless and haphazard are in the same family as happy. It means kind of, sort of, maybe depending on circumstances. For example, I win a lottery and I'm happy. One time I won a $40 lottery from a $2 ticket. I was happy. And then Britt said, "Oh, you're taking me to breakfast." And his breakfast cost me $40. And then I wasn't happy. He was. So I get a new suit for Christmas. I'm happy. I look at the tag. It says Kmart. I'm not happy anymore. So it's conditional. Happy is like, oh, this is good. Oh, this is not so good. But joy is from spirit. Joy is always from God. It's never from the outside. It's always from inside. Your joy comes from inside. It's a knowing from within me. Billy Graham talks about being in a new town. He'd never been there before. He didn't know his way around, but he needed to mail a letter. He stopped a young boy to ask directions to the post office. After thanking the boy, he said, oh, by the way, I'd love for you to come hear me tonight at the church. You can tell, you can hear me tell everybody how to get to heaven. And the little boy said, no, thank you. And Billy Graham said, well, don't you want to know how to find your way to heaven? He said, you can't find your way to the post office. True story. Kids, tell the truth. I took a seminar years ago with our friend, the wonderful, brilliant priest and theologian, Matthew Fox. He shared with us that Americans in particular have a real hard time with the power of joy. He has a term that he uses called adultism. Adultism really means hoarding, not letting anything out, keeping it close. Not only hoarding material goods, because we think there's only so much to go around, but hoarding our emotions. Not letting them out for fear of getting hurt. We don't share ourselves easily, regardless of what we see on so-called reality television. That's all scripted. That's all scripted. So even on there, we don't see anything really authentic going on. So what happens is we keep everything that has hurt us, everything that has been so important, we keep it inside rather than letting it flow forth, and it has nowhere to go. So we're all jammed up with all these emotions, all these ideas, all these dreams. So if we don't let them flow forth, if we don't let God's joy bring them forth, there's only one other solution. That is, we get ill, we get unhappy, we get angry, we get sarcastic, we get bitchy. It's not a happy thing, it's not a joyful thing to not let the power of God flow forth. And then we have to find some way to find release, so we find addictions. We get addicted to relieve the pain. We get addicted to so many different things, drugs, alcohol, work, sex, shopping, anything and everything that will give us relief from what we're holding all day. But in blotting out our pain, we're also blotting out our joy. When you blot out one, you're blotting out the other. When we're not coming from a spiritually healthy place. So what we're doing is we're not feeling anything anymore. And we call that depression. Anxiety. We have everything is just this colorless gray in our lives. And if it does come up, what do? We smash it down again. We keep telling God, here's the reason why I can't have my joy, and we push it back down until the next time it pops up. For us to be healed, we have to let whatever God has within us come out easily, safely, authentically. And how can we do that? How do we claim the joy but not be in agony about our life challenges? Well, as Jesus said, you cannot enter the kingdom, you cannot have the good of God unless you become a child again, unless you have that awe-inspiring understanding of who and what God is, to have the joy of God created over and over and over again. Without joy or a sense of bliss or wonder at how so great life really and truly is, and how powerful we are as creators in the universe, we can't fully express what God has for us in our lives. Without the knowledge flowing forth that, as Jesus said, you are gods, you just forgot, then we believe in limitation. We believe in being separate from each other and being separate from God. We believe that we're weak, that we're ineffective, that we're factory defective. But we know the truth. There is no defect. There's no junk. God does not make junk. When God created you perfect. There's nothing you need to fix. You're not broken. It always drives me crazy when I hear that word coming out of a traditional church. All God's broken, God doesn't have any broken people. We may be bruised, we may be bumped around a little bit, but we're not broken. Nothing God makes can be broken. Do we know that? You are not broken, you never have been. You're powerful. You can never be broken, ever. You have within you the power of God to make your life whatever you want it to be. Whatever you choose as a child of God, by bumping up the joy and the love and the appreciation, you move it forward to have it come forth. So how do we begin? How do we begin to let that joy pour forth? For me, it's about laughter. It's about the power of laughter. So I, on Sunday morning, if we don't have two or three good laughs, I feel I failed. Because we need to laugh to open ourselves up to allow God to escape. We only let God escape when we're laughing and we're not in control. You got to let go of the control to let God flow. So laughter is the gateway to your joy and therefore to your success in life. The author Norman Cousins, who was diagnosed as having a terminal disease, thought, well, if illness is caused by negativity, then healing is caused by being positive. So he rented every comedy movie he could get his hands on. He was in the hospital and he had a VCR back then and watched movie after movie and laughed. He called friends in to tell them funny stories. If anything funny happened, he said, call me and let me know what happened. After a while, he found that the laughter coursing through him allowed him, he said, like for an hour of laughter, he had like 3 or 4 hours of painless sleep. So the more he laughed, the less pain he had in his life. And he began to find the healing, and eventually he was completely healed from the illness by the power of divine laughter. Give it a try yourself. Show up this week with joyful people. Only hang out with joyful people. If they're crabby, bless them, let them go and go find the joy people. Go find the happy ones, right? Only hang out with people who are enjoying life and in the move of spirit within them. I want to share this piece that I found, this author wrote. It's really powerful. He said, I was out with my girlfriend when my cell phone rang, and it was my dad. It sounded important, so I moved to a quiet spot, and my dad told me that he had cancer. For a minute, I asked all the usual questions. What did the doctor say? How's mom? How are you? Then I heard myself say, hey, Dad, a guy goes to the doctor. He's got a carrot in each ear and a mushroom in each nostril. The doctor looks at him and says, I don't think you're eating properly. There was a pause, long enough for me to think, what the hell am I doing telling him jokes? And then my dad says, okay, a guy goes to the doctor. The doctor says, I'm afraid I have some bad news. You have cancer and Alzheimer's. The guy said, well, thank God I don't have cancer. And we kept going, rattling off every stupid joke we could think of, and we were both howling. And finally, Dad says, thanks. And I said, for what? And he said, for being normal. I went back to my table and I was still laughing and my girlfriend said, what was that all about? And I'm laughing and I go, my dad has cancer. She burst into tears, tells me I'm insensitive, but I just couldn't stop laughing. A year later, Dad is on his deathbed and I'm standing over him with my mom, my brother, my new girlfriend. I put a pillow behind his head and asked if he was comfortable. He shrugged and said, I make a living. Isn't that wonderful? That's from the off-Broadway play, Old Jews Telling Jokes. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah, it was a beautiful, wonderful show. Proverbs 22, the truth is very clearly affirmed. A cheerful heart is a joyful medicine. A cheerful heart is a good medicine. The best medicine we have, the healing, is the joy and the laughter that comes out to meet that healing. So what gives you joy in your life? What would give you joy to do today? Think about it for a moment. What makes you cheerful? What brings that holy happiness into your life? What is funny and lightening to your soul? You've got to do that. You've got to do that every single day. Here's your assignment for this week. Do it today. Go to a toy store. Buy a toy. Think about what you really enjoyed. Was it Silly Putty? Or a Slinky? It doesn't have to be a lot of money. I want you to buy a toy. I'm going to ask you next week what you got. I want you to buy a toy. Again, it could be a book. Play-Doh. Buy something that will give you joy. Just revel in it for an hour and see how you feel at the end of that. We're here to play. Life is not meant to be a drudgery. It's a holy and abundant and beautiful thing. Actually, it's wonderful. At conference, the Unity Worldwide Ministries came up with the words that they were holding for every ministry. And one of the words they said, we decided to drop the word or leave it alone for a while. We decided to change the word from abundant to generous. I love that word. Generosity. Generosity, when we are generous, we are automatically abundantly blessed. So think, where are you not being generous in your life? Where are you holding back? If you're holding back in that area, no doubt you're not receiving in that area. So meditate this week. Where am I generous? Where am I not generous right now? And let generosity of God flow forth in that area this week. So take a breath. Close your eyes. Feel the power of God, the power of joy, the power of light, the power of life coming forth. Breathe into your heart the good of God as we begin our time within by singing, I am so blessed for all that I have, all that I am, all that God is. I invite you to sing it with joy, with the fullness of spirit moving your heart, going into your cells, your atoms, your molecules, every part of your being. Be the joy of God today. Over your heart for a moment. With every beat you feel, know the truth is God is speaking joy, 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 joy. With every beat of your heart, it's the vibration of joy emanating from the core of your being, which is God. Just feel that for a moment. Be with that wonderful
life beat of joy, bringing energy, life, and power into every single atom and molecule of your being, every breath, every thought, every square inch of this body temple is pulsating with joy as you open your mind and heart to receive the joy. You begin to lift up into that wonderful energy of God, that high vibration rate of creation, of possibility, of all good present in you right now. So today, I bless this body temple. If you're having any pain, I invite you to send joy to that area. Is it your back? Somewhere in your body? Breathe joy into this body part and quietly affirm, the joy of God lifts me up and I am healthy and whole. Breathe that in. The joy of God lifts me up and I am healthy and whole. Be with that truth. Let go and let God infuse every part of your being with that truth, with that wonderful power of joy. We also allow the joy of God to reveal new ideas of abundance. I am prosperous. The joy of God reveals new ideas of abundance, of generosity, of giving, of living. The wonderful ideas flow forth, and I am a success in whatever gives me joy. I am a joyful, creative, successful being of God, and I am prosperous in every way. I let go and allow God to reveal that. I don't create it. I agree with it. Breathe in. The joy of God guides me perfectly to my highest good. I am guided at all times by the joy, by the power, and by the light of God. Joy is revealing my path, my own perfect personal path created by Spirit within. I know what to do, and I do it joyfully, gratefully, lovingly. The joy of God guides me perfectly to my highest good. Breathe that in and let it take hold. In the silence of your being, focus on the word, on the divine idea, joy, joy. Ask that your joy may be full.